Welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the weekly show from the Bagel Tech Network that deals with all things Mac. I'm Ewan Rankin, and we've got a brilliant stuffed panel for you today. We've got the five-way Skype wall running. It's the first time ever. Top left, as usual, the Don McAllister. How's it going, buddy?
Good afternoon. It's going well. I'm a bit harassed today. I'm a bit late publishing my show, so... But I'm just about there. Another half an hour and I'll have it cracked. But so Don, it'll have to wait for Bagel Tech Mac, I think.
But Don, you're always worth the wait.
Well, this is it.
That's my day of ass-kissing, Don, then. next to him, we've got, for the first time ever on the network, and probably the last time after we get to the end of the show, Tom Merritt. How's it going, man?
Doing well. It's good to be here this afternoon. It's afternoon there, right?
Yeah, 3:40 now, so there we go. Yeah, you're bright and early, mate. Thank you ever so much for making the effort. I've got to say, when I grow up, I want to be you. Because you can get an entire hour when there's been nothing happen all day. Dude, you're a god. And I'm really looking for some help here because there's sod all happened this week in Apple News, so we're needing you to spin us out here.
All right. I'm good at making stuff up, if that's what you mean.
Well, buzz out loud, you kind of speculated out loud a little bit through that to kind of fill the space, but the Twitch show now, it's proper news. You do this for a job, I'm telling you.
One of these days I'll grow up and figure out what I want to do, and it's something like that.
Cool. Excellent. Thanks for joining us, mate. Next to him, we've got Mr. Swagger from the Philippines. No, that's Dr. Happy Mac. Wrong one. No, that's Chris Forsman. Wrong one. Well, you have to put you on the full view while I fix this. Kyle, how you doing, mate?
Oh, are you really talking to me now?
Yeah, I really am talking to you.
I just want to make sure, you know.
Don't make it any worse than it already is.
Oh, why not? How's your week been?
All right. You know, how's you been? Because the NBA is back.
Woohoo! Yeah, I actually have a job.
Those greedy bastards at the NBA. Sorry, did I? I hope I haven't unrailed any.
Yeah, there went the job. Yeah, it's good. It's good to be back. It's good to everybody, you know, that's involved with it. You know, there's not going to be a lot of people out of work. So yeah, I'm looking forward. Preseason starts tonight, U.S.
And the voiceovers for the voiceovers for the adverts are coming thick and fast.
I guess so. Yeah, I've been at it all week.
Good lad. Excellent. First game. Already started?
Preseason starts like 1 week of preseason. Yeah, you got to squeeze it in.
Well, that's what you get for going into negotiations for 6 months still arguing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Next to Kyle, we've got from British Mac, Mr. Will Green, legendary drinker and member of the Iron Bridge fan club. How's it going, mate?
Oh, are you talking about the Christmas pizza?
What a night that was.
I know. There was some beer drunk at that.
Is there any part of that podcast that we did that's publishable?
I have been editing it, and I've got
heavily,
it down to about 30 seconds at the moment. But other than that, no, it's looking good. It's looking good. It's a laugh, so it should be good. Also, Dave and ours is on this one as well.
Dave?
It's been a while since, Dave.
Oh, your Aussie guy, Aussie Mac.
Yeah, he's back as well. I've got to say, Tom, I admire that you've come on a European podcast and you've got the globe turned round, not at North America, but at Great Britain and Europe.
Super.
Have you seen that? Is he there?
He's overcome.
Yeah, no. It's always where it is. Yeah. I'm in North America. I don't need to look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to see what's going on the other side.
Colton, Newcastle. You'll have to look that one up in Google. And very patiently sitting in the middle. Don McAllister's feed gone. Where's he got? He's back again. Right. And patiently sitting in the middle. Welcome return after a long absence. Mr. Dr. Happy Mac, how you doing, mate?
All right. Am I in the middle? Is it like Celebrity Squares?
Yeah, you're smack in the middle, mate. We've got a five-way little wall thing going on, and you're right smack in the middle on line
five. So I'm like the Don McLean of... Is it Don McLean was in Celebrity Squares?
I don't know. It's an American show. I've never watched it.
No, yeah, didn't
they? Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. No.
No, not that Don McLean.
The crap one in the UK.
The crap Don McLean.
Don McLean that was smiling so much he spat on everyone.
Yes, him.
I went to a thing once at... I shot the pictures for a launch of the Saab, and he... he was doing the intro thing, and I was at the side taking the pictures, and every time he spoke, there was a huge amount of saliva spat out of his mouth onto the microphone. And then this guy came up to use it afterwards, and I took a picture of him grimacing at the microphone, because he knew he was going to have to stand talk next to it, and thought he'd get an infection of some disguise. The guy could not talk without spitting.
Not to be off the Mac point and things and that, but I do have to ask at this point, if you're like Saab's marketing and communications agency, who the F thinks to themselves, let's get Don McLean to do this?
Well, I'm going back 20 years, dude. It was when Saab was not going bust. So, oh, right. Long time back.
Maybe it's only Grayson wasn't like, available.
Now, people who are more observant will notice that your lower third today says Dr. Horny Mac.
Shut up.
So, we want to know about your confessions of a window cleaner experience. How have you had to go back? Fill everyone in on what happened, mate.
Wild horses.
Well, the long and the short of this is, you started your business and you thought everyone goes to see someone and you're always going to, someone's going to try and shag me, I think was what you said.
Yeah, that's exactly why I started the
and
business.
And no one has 3 years. In 3 years, you've been upset because no one's tried to. And then a week ago Monday, someone said, how am I ever going to pay?
They did not say it wasn't quite
and it was a bad 1970s porn movie developing from what no, you were saying.
One thing that she was adamant whilst they were sorting it out. We had several discussions about how many women had hit on me whilst I'd been in their houses, and that if I ever had wanted to come round whilst and just let myself in if she was in the bath, that was fine. And stuff like that. And I was invited to have some whiskey or some wine because I could always stay for the evening if I drank too much. It was quite exciting, really.
And you're trying to say that's not a come on?
No, well, obviously.
It's a valid open discussion between two adult people.
Yes, but I did point out that I, unlike her, I didn't live in a bad 1970s porn movie, so I would be going home at some point to my wife and children.
The chat room's alive with Andy's pulled.
what did she look like? I mean, go on.
Well, if you imagine, like, Farrah Fawcett Majors in her heyday, and just, like, mash all of the original Charlie's Angels together in one super sex bundle of sex, and she didn't really look much like that.
Yep, there we go. So there's another podcast that we've guaranteed that Andy's daughters can't listen to.
They don't care. I'm not Justin Bieber.
There's really no news this week, is there?
No, I thought we should start on the news, really. But
this week the iTunes Match started.
I know, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, iTunes Match. I mean, we've got to start with iTunes Match. iTunes Match has hit early, they reckon, I think, a little bit. But you've had it in the States for a while, though, Tom, right?
Yeah, that's right.
When how long has it been? Because I mean, I know you're not a particularly huge Mac user, but
I signed up for it. I'm in the Apple Developer Program, so I was toying around with it even before it launched. So I'm trying to remember exactly when it launched. It was second week of November.
Four weeks ago. Yeah.
My problem with iTunes Match is that it doesn't allow you to use non-standard things. So for instance, and this is just a weird personal issue, but I have a lot of really like odd stuff in my music playlist, like old commercials and sound effects and things like that, that I just throw in there for fun. iTunes Match won't match those. It says that we don't know what that is. We're not going to match it. So if you want to use iTunes Match on your iPhone, you actually have to allow it to remove all that stuff from your playlist, or your playlist won't sync over, or you just have to not use iTunes Match. It's an all or nothing proposition. So I've actually turned it off on my phone. I do like the fact that you can buy a track and it automatically propagates like to my iPad and stuff, and it propagates to my desktop, to my laptop. But I don't even use it on the phone because it's very strict on what it can store. It's not actually just a storage drive in the cloud. It's in that traditional Apple way, deciding for you what things are good to store and what aren't.
But anything that you buy new will already, you can do that, can't you?
Well, it's iCloud that streams it and sits it in your other devices, isn't it?
But you're after Match to do is to make sure that if you buy something on your phone, it arrives somewhere else. iTunes already does that. You set it to simultaneously download on all your devices, and everything you buy, if you buy an app or a track or a movie, it just comes down to every device. That's even without Match.
Don, have you had a play?
I have. I had a quick play. I say it only came out this morning. In fact, I signed up for it last night before I went to bed because the Twitter was alive with people sort of saying, it's out. But it didn't work, although it did allow you to actually sign up and subscribe. So I was hoping it would be working this morning, and then first thing when I got up, it wasn't. And then about an hour or two later, it burst into life. So I've been streaming and rather trying to match my collection. I think I've got about 12 or 13,000 songs. And it's pretty much right the way through now. It's just sort of mopping up some others that I think you have to scan it a couple of times for it to pick up everything. But on the face of it, my initial impressions, I'm very impressed. It looks really good.
I didn't realise the Everly Brothers released that many songs.
Let's wake up little Susie, take 1 through 15, just so you know.
Now, the one thing I can guarantee, Will Green, is if it's Apple, you've bought it, and in a week, you'll hate it. So what have you done with an iTunes match?
Well, I bought it. I did buy into
it. That's a surprise.
And straight away, I loved it. Buy. It's £21-22, I think, for a year. I think... You notice, though, that it's a subscription service. And I think, in a way, they're trying to hook you into it. So probably the biggest part of anybody's backup will be the music side of things, won't it? Maybe second to video. But the music's going to be a big thing. So out of habit, we'll stop backing up our music, relying on this thing. And it's just going to be this roll-in subscription year in, year out. And I think that's part of it. But which sort of commercially makes sense, but I think the idea of them upgrading your stuff to better quality is quite jolly, isn't it? I think that works well. But Tom, you were saying it's not working on your phone. I've got working with the stuff I do. I've got lots of jingles and stuff like that that are sort of non-standard, and they've all come across. So on my iPhone and my iPad too.
Is that right? Yeah. It's just a handful of old commercials and then a few music tracks that I actually recorded off of LP myself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't recognize those. And it says these songs cannot be uploaded to iCloud. So this playlist won't be uploaded to iCloud. That's part of the whole iCloud thing. I guess it's, and as you were pointing out, it's not part of the iTunes match. Part of it. That's just having the songs available. But if I've turned off the iCloud, the iTunes match doesn't help that much on the playlist side. But it's a good point that I do like the fact that it upgrades you to a higher quality and it takes everything and makes it better. And you can just pay for it once, whatever it is, the £21, get everything upgraded, download them again, and then cancel the service, and you get to keep everything.
Dude, you're awesome. You've looked at the price in the UK. I'm impressed.
I just heard one of you say it.
No,
you
don't. Oh, okay. I'm not impressed.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, though. I mean, I don't know if Tom is in. He talked about vinyl and needed vinyl. All right. Did you do that in Apple Lossless? Does that go across the cloud? Because I heard at one time that, you know, obviously they're not still doing Apple Lossless downloads, which
from a quality standpoint
sucks.
Yeah, I did see. I did see a tip somewhere that if you did have problematic tracks that weren't going up because of either the bit rate or the way it's been encoded, that if you just re-encode them in iTunes to AAC, Max will just pick them up, even if it doesn't recognise them and upload it. So it might be a little bit of extra work, but you probably could get around it by just re-encoding them to AAC.
Yeah,
Don, your video's all over the place, mate. Are you uploading or?
No, I stopped my iTunes match before we started, and I finished uploading my show, so I don't know. It might be worth me dialing back in. I might do that, actually.
Yeah, no worries, no problem at all. Kyle, how are you getting on? Because, of course, everything that you've got's in flag.
Yeah, everything I've gotten's fine. I'm getting on great, you know, because Tommy Tidass here didn't get it. So I like flack. I mean, it's just how I am, and I don't have a use for the service. I've got a backup of a backup of a backup. I just like quality when it comes to music. That's how I have it on the home server. The old iPod I have over here has got Rockbox on it. When it comes to that Apple sort of the universe, I don't live in it. I don't want an MP3. I don't want AAC. If Apple started doing lossless, and I still think that they should for, like, I don't know, original master recording series or these kind of things, I would probably start going to iTunes. Very few things I bought in iTunes, though. There are a few things, though. I did... stupidly buy, just because I'm a Beatles nut, bought the box set through them and everything just to have them. But it's just not my destination.
Never, and until they start doing lossless, it won't be.
Well, there is a certain element of the golden spin on this, isn't it? Because they've charged you £20+, $25 to have a copy of everything that you already own and keep it in the cloud for you. But my question then is, well, hang on, I've already got all of that. And as you said, Kyle, I mean, I've got three backups of my library, so I know I've got all of my stuff stored here. Am I going to get a hard copy of all this high quality stuff down on my computer as well as, so if I'm offline, I can still play it? Or have I got to go to the cloud? Have I got to rely on it streaming?
You can do. Well, what you can do, I mean, the good thing is if you've got say an iPad, a 16 gig iPad, or you've got, a low capacity iPhone, you don't necessarily have to have everything on your phone now. If you've got a Wi-Fi connection, you can access the cloud and you can play music. It's not a true streaming service, but it will stream. It will start playing it as it's downloading, so you don't have to download the entire file before it will start playing. But on your Mac, what you can do is, obviously, you're the core Mac where your library is. It will upload everything from your core Mac. But then, say, if you have a MacBook, the video's gone again, sorry about that.
Sorry.
If you have a MacBook Air, like 64 gig MacBook Air, you don't have to have your entire music library on there. You can access the library in the cloud, and you can either listen to tracks from your playlist, and it will just download them as you're listening to them, or you can manually download them. You can say, right, download these tracks, and it will download them all locally. And then you can delete them after you've listened to them if you want and claim that space, and then always re-download them again.
Mark in the chat room saying that that issue of storing locally is not an automatic function. You're going to have to enable that yourself. Robert in the chat room saying, I'm not buying unless it can stream to my Wii.
What's going to happen?
I need this new stuff to go to my 4-year-old technology, at least. And apparently Macworld's posted a good article on retrieving your upgraded music using a smart playlist. And Mark says he'll stick a chat room link in. So I think you're going to have some takers for that, mate. Well done.
Ah, that's a smart idea. Nice.
Yes, well done. Mm. We'll all be taking that link then. It'll go in the show notes. I'll paste it out and we'll get it in the show notes. Don't worry. Samsung has taken a swipe at Apple. They've won their case in Australia to promote the Galaxy Tab now. And it's a stick in the eye for Apple. And they're taking the opportunity to say that this is the tablet that Apple tried to stop. Is it going to help sales of the Samsung Galaxy Tab in Australia?
What? Did I hear you?
Flying off the shelves. Flying off the shelves.
Yeah, literally.
I don't think it'll hurt them.
I mean, there was a famous advertising war 20 years ago with Mamiya and Hasselblad. And Mamiya was slagging off Hasselblad and saying that their camera was better. Oh, no, it was Hasselblad was slagging off Mamiya. And when the Hasselblad stopped running the adverts, Mamiya offered to pay the newspapers to carry on running the Hasselblad advert because their sales had gone up. So, I mean, it was in this, are we saying, there's feasibility here that you could see Apple stuff going up as opposed to Samsung stuff. I mean, it's a brave old taunt, though, isn't it?
I'm driving all the way to Wagga Wagga to buy a...
Driving to Wagga Wagga, that famous Apple store.
Yes.
Tom,
it's the classic, movie, like the movie that the United States government didn't want you to see, or anybody that's ever anybody who's had something that's been attempted to be blocked. That's your marketing strategy afterward, is to say, they don't want you to see this, they don't want you to buy this. So it's making the best out of a bad situation. They got delayed in the holiday season. It's probably going to pale in comparison in sales anyway. At least that's been the track record. So you got to try something, right?
Has the Galaxy Tab really got a chance though?
If they get Michael Moore to endorse it, yes.
Why Michael Moore? What's that going to do with it?
Oh, we got on this conspiracy theories and government films that don't want you to see and all that. So I just thought I'd throw it in there.
Yeah, no, it's a good call. He's a master of that sort of stuff.
We'll give them away free to everyone who's in an Occupy line or protest.
Yeah, something like that.
They talk about the Roswell crash, don't they, and the technology that they're able to retrieve from the aliens. Well, there it is.
The Samsung Galaxy Tab is advanced alien technology.
From Roswell, exactly that. It's trying to hide it, they are.
Is that on the basis that there's no humans can see the frigging point?
I tried to buy one of them Hewlett Packard. Oh, what are they called?
A touchpad.
touchpad. Well, they were doing another fire sale the other day, so I stopped up till midnight to buy this bloody thing off their eBay store, and within like 30 seconds, they'd all gone, every single one of them.
Well, now they've actually started selling them again, haven't they?
What's the price, right? You reduce the price that far, and everybody's like, well, you know, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
$99, I think they went down to, didn't they?
Yeah, that was the eBay price.
It's a perfect stocking stuffer. It's like, hey, my kid wants an iPad. He'll never tell the difference. He's 10.
This isn't an iPad. You ruined Christmas.
No, it is. Look at the Apple sticker. Look at the Apple sticker, son. Yeah.
Someone does a homemade pack, like a Letraset. Do you remember Letraset transfers? You rub on jobs. And you just get one of those sheets and just rub it out across the thing. I mean, who's going to buy? Is anyone here actually going to buy a Samsung Galaxy Tab? I mean, you'd say, yeah, I'll have one to play with, but I ain't paying money for it, I would have thought. Would anyone buy it? Don, you're the one you're the jet set man who buys everything to try.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to try one, but, you know, I don't think I'd actually be using it on a regular basis because everything I've got is sort of tied into my iPad at the moment. So I've got no real need for any other tablet device. I'd certainly like to try one to see what all the fuss was about. I mean, my experiences of trying an Android tablet in the past have been horrendous in that, you know, but I went for a cheap and cheerful option and it was awful. But, you know, a decent Android tablet running the latest OS, I would be interested to see what it how it handled and what it could do.
Don, are you sure that you didn't leave uTorrent open?
No, honestly, I've even swapped across to another machine, but it must be my outbound network connections stuff.
Good old Virgin Media.
I apologize.
Tom, have you used the 10-inch tablet?
I've got a Galaxy Tab here in the house. My wife got one when she went to the Google I.O. conference, and it's fine. It looks like it's trying to mimic Apple. When you open it up, it's got a sync cable that looks like the same sync cable, except it's black. It's got the same kind of bezel. But then you turn it on, and it's Honeycomb, and it's just not quite there. I think with Ice Cream Sandwich operating system coming, it might get a lot closer. But, you know, my wife has gone back to using the iPad, and actually she uses the Barnes & Noble Nook and the Kindle Fire more often than any of the other tablets, I think, just because those are better interfaces. And even though they're more limited in what they do what they're doing better. I think those are the top Android tablets right now. The Samsung Galaxy Tab is too expensive and just doesn't compete on the features well enough yet.
Dude, have you got so many tablets in your house, you use them as coasters or something?
Yeah, we do. serving trays in the morning. I bring for breakfast online.
America is such a great and rich land. I got to get out there.
Yeah. I mean, we live in a hovel, but it's filled with tablets.
You got a horse and cart on there.
Yeah.
I tried being Amish, but I couldn't cope with it. I mean, I had a go with the Gammy. That's Freudian slip.
The Gammy Tab.
I had a go with the Samsung Galaxy when it was a 7-inch one, and I've got to say, it was nasty. I mean, the user experience was awful. It was glitchy. It was slow. You tap things, it didn't start. You know, when you do thing on even on an iPad 1, it feels like your finger's connected to it. It moves really easy. Like the shuffleboard game and stuff is superb. But the Galaxy Tab was disgusting at 7 inches.
I think that was because it was 7 inches. I mean, I had a play with one too. It just feels like, you know, what the hell do I do with this thing? And I think it had potential. I think the potential is there with the Samsung, the 10-inch tab. And then maybe that's why Apple was sitting there going, hey, wait a minute. This was our idea. And when you look at it, I hope it does in some ways does succeed. We need some freaking competition in this market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really still feel that the winner of the year, and Tom was just saying a second ago, is the Fire. I like the Fire, you know, something about it. I don't know. I think it's that kind of device. It gets enough people there that says, yeah, I need a tablet, but I don't need an iPad. I like to read books. I like to browse the web. And the price is right. It's all about the price.
I mean, we haven't got the Fire over here, Tom. We haven't got the choice of it. But I look at the Fire and see it as a little bit Frankensteinian. You know, the Kindle succeeded because it acted like a book, whereas as the Fire is trying to act like a tablet. And I don't know that people like reading books on tablets.
I like reading books on the Fire better than the iPad because it's lighter and because it feels like I'm holding a paperback book.
Right.
So if you're looking for something that does a little more than the ebook, and you want to be able to watch some videos, surf the web, maybe answer some email. From that direction, it's great because the price isn't that bad. It's $199 US, and you get a few functions. And Amazon has a great content mechanism built into it. Mm. That's why you don't have it yet, by the way, is because they have to get all of that lined up as well.
Yeah.
But if you try to compare it to an iPad, it's apples and oranges, no pun intended, because the iPad is a much bigger, more robust machine. The Fire isn't meant to do all of the things that the iPad can do.
Is it a killer? Is it an iPad killer?
No, not even close. It's incremental. It's for the people who are like, gosh, I wish I could have an iPad, but too expensive, or I don't like Apple or whatever. To the people who would never buy an iPad will probably have a chance of buying the Kindle.
Go on, Will, you were about to say something?
I was going to say I think the 7, maybe 8 inch is the sweet spot, and Apple are feeling the pressure because the old claims that they're going to be releasing a 7/8 inch format iPad sometime in 2012. The rumors are rife out there, aren't they? And I could quite see that as a cheaper alternative to an iPad.
What pressure are they feeling, Will? Is that the pressure of supplying 15 million iPads a week?
Well, it's not pressure.
They sit there, they couldn't.
But it was built
of iPads. They couldn't sell enough of them, build enough of them.
Yep. I do wonder. I think I'm not going to say the writing's on the wall, but that they, I think, for the first time, have recognised that there is a worthy competitor, a worthy alternative to buying an iPad. That is the Fire. I know it's not very. In some ways, it's not the same. But this Amazon are losing something like, is it about $10 per Fire, something like that. So it's a loss leader, but they're going to try and make their money back on the subscription, or not subscription, but purchasing the content. And I wonder whether Apple's going to do something similar with a smaller, leaner iPad, and maybe try and tie you into. Nope. Fair enough.
No, I can't see that, Will, because they've always said that the 7-inch form factor wasn't the right form factor for a multi-purpose tablet. I think it probably works on the Fire because you are using it as an e-reader or as a book reader or as a media consumption device. But again, I've seen some articles that say there are still issues with its usability, and it's because of its dimensions and the physical dimensions of your fingers and things, trying to touch buttons and things on the Fire. I mean, I don't know because I've never tried one. But I think Apple have always said all along, and even Steve Jobs came out and said, 7 inches is a form factor we're not interested in. And I doubt really if you'll see Apple go down that route. They might make the iPhone a bit bigger, but certainly not to 7 inches. But we won't go down that route again, I suppose.
But Steve Jobs speaks with forked tongue all the time.
No one wants to watch video on an iPod. And no one reads anymore. And we'll never make a phone. And
I just don't see where it fits in, because you've got the phone, you've got the iPad, which they've, they can't. No one can say that's been a failure, the 10-inch form factor, because it's not a media consumption device. It's an all-round purpose computer, so that's the form factor they've got. And then they've got the Mac range. Now, to fit a 7-inch in there as well seems to me would sort of dilute and confuse the actual product range. We all know Apple like to try and keep things simple. So I don't know. I really struggle with seeing a 7-inch tablet from Apple at any time, to be honest.
Going out and about Mac, going into women's houses, that 7-inch doesn't cut it. 10-inch is always going to be better. 10 inches is 10 inches. It has to be said.
And only Dr. Horny Mac can do it.
We need a strong bass line and a grooving guitar now.
Yeah, 7 inches.
I'm telling you though.
November was a good month for me. It was a good look. I was rocking the moustache and the droopy bit, moustache bits, and the, why, hello.
Did someone order an iPad?
You turn up in some.
Oh, dude, tablet. You did that a bit good.
You turn up with a 7-inch tablet and you're not going to get any action.
Peter, you're the new Peter Wingard, aren't you? You are.
I am, yes. That's him. That's me.
It's the size of the tablet, it's the content it can deliver.
Oh, absolutely. You're a smooth talker, you are, Merritt.
No, it's the size. In the world I live in, it's the size.
Kyle, you're going to say something sensible.
Oh, not really. I was just going to say, by God, if they're going to do a 7-inch, then by God, I expect a 3-inch, and it better be called the NanoPad. That's all I care about.
Well, now you were shaking your head vigorously when Will Green was talking. Have you got inside information?
I don't have any inside information on that, dude. But they're just not going to do that. That's one thing I think that will stay with what Apple wants to do. I think they'll stay with Steve Jobs saying on that. If not, Tim is the wrong guy for the job.
I'll do you double or quits.
Oh, there we go. Right, Tom, just to fill you in here, Kyle's cousin says there's definitely an Apple TV coming, 32 to 55 inch with Siri controls, and we had that 6 months ago out of him. So his cousin's either going to get a good kick in if he's wrong, but Kyle's got $20 bets with Andy Anatko and Will Green that it's going to come before May.
May. Some way it's going to be announced in May. I'm announced in May.
Ah! Oh, it's changing now, isn't it? Changing now. Never said that at the time.
Fine. I'll stick it and I'll say it'll be here in May. But I think by May, we're going to sit here and say, yes, we have an Apple TV coming for sure. You know how Apple is. They always announce something and say, it'll be ready next week. You know, that's
WWDC is the first week of June. If they're going to announce something in May, why didn't they just announce it at the WWDC?
That's a good point, too.
You do that $20 is looking a bit more remote, Kyle.
It's not looking remote because I know that we're getting a TV. So, you know, if I had to go out $20 on that, then fine.
Yeah, no, but you set the time frame as May, dude.
That's what I said. I'm going to stick to it.
By May.
But you know, don't you, that a 55-inch Apple television is not going to be the cheapest thing in the world.
No.
Well, it's going to be massively expensive.
Well, $28,000. I mean, take out a second mortgage, you'll be the coolest person on the block.
We were speaking on Saturday night to someone who shall remain as the name Moriarty. Because they can't reveal their identity for some reasons that will become obvious in a second. But they were talking about how are they going to deliver Genius support on a 55-inch television. That's the whole point. You know, they've got this whole Apple experience of being customer service oriented with the Genius bar and that kind of stuff. Can you really see the Genius bar? Can you really see someone pulling a TV into an Apple store at 55 inches? No.
The Genius comes to you.
Really? There's going to be a visiting service?
Of course,
man!
Why can't Apple,
Dr. Matt? You can give them the consultancy on how to deal with aggressive women customers. Then,
yes, but there's no difference in
where do I plug this?
There's no difference between that in essence, not a lot of difference between that and the 27-inch iMac. You know, in terms of service.
Well, apart from the 30 inches, 28 inches.
Don't forget, a Mac Pro is a beast to take back to the store if you've got to get it fixed. Horrible to. In fact, I've got one here with a faulty CD drive, and I just won't bother taking it back to the store because it's such a hassle.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you'd just buy another CD anyway, drive. Wouldn't you? See, I mean.
And it's a CD drive.
DVD drive, go on.
That'll be a footrest or a coffee table in the lounge next week, won't it, Don?
I tell you, that my prediction thing with the TV is that, it, although, you know, 55 inches, Apple product, $8,000 you say for it, you reckon?
No.
$8,000 for a TV? Bang & Olufsen.
Whatever it's going to come out as, it's going to be the most expensive television you can buy. Couple of people are going to buy it, put it on the wall, show Siri on the television working there, and it is going to sell by the truckload.
Not at $8,000.
No, not at eight grand. But no. It does. In essence, I don't think it matters how much it costs. I think Apple will sell a Siri-enabled television. Apple will sell faster than they can possibly build them.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
So what was your double or quits then, Will?
Well, the double or quits is I'm quite happy to say, right, I'm going to be so fair with this. I'll quite happily, Kyle, extend it to June. So if it's announced at WWDC, okay.
Oh, blimey.
$20.
Magnanimous gesture. I
mean, well, Tom made a fair point. So let's wait until June. However, I'm saying by October, which will sort of tie in possibly with the... They tend to do like a media event, don't they, in the autumn, that there'll be a 8-inch or a almost 8-inch version of the iPad. How does the double quits thing work again?
If you're... no, it doesn't. You've got to win one bet first. And then, you do double or quits.
Oh, well, I'll have to wait until July or whatever. Then.
I'm not a betting aficionado, but...
No.
But that makes sense, yeah.
The only thought I had was, if you're going to do it at WWDC, you would do it at WWDC because there was something to develop for it.
App Store.
Mm-hmm. But I can't see apps going on the TV.
No, I would say that it's more likely to be at something like CES, if that wasn't so early in January.
Yeah, but the thing is, Tom, that's a huge leap forward, because we've gone from just a moving image picture now to a moving image picture with interaction, gaming, storage. Yeah.
They're going to have to do that.
And you've gone back to the old Apple TV at that point, no?
But they're not just going to create a TV that's just a flat panel television. They've got to do something extra. They've got to add value to the proposition. They've got to...
Aluminium.
It's good. The proposition is aluminium. When in doubt, aluminium.
That's all you need to do. Aluminium it up, and you're laughing.
Well, Siri, nobody voice controls a television, except maybe if you count the Xbox with Kinect. But, you know, that the idea that you just sit down and talk to the television and then it plays whatever you say. You know, I want to watch the IT Crowd and it pops up.
Yeah.
That's their value proposition, I think, no matter what else is
there. The only thing that bothers me... Sorry, go on, Will.
No, I was going to say, if the TV is talking and it starts listening to itself, it could go horribly wrong, couldn't it?
Someone on BBC One says Channel 1, it'll just flip out and come back again. I mean, it's playing something that it'll recognise voice commands from, if you're not careful. You have to have a button
over on Channel 2, and then it switches to Channel 2.
Yeah. It's like a TiVo. Automatic TiVo thing.
I actually disagree with you, though, on you and with the apps. I think there will be apps. I don't think they're going to be the same apps as we see them right now on the iPad or the iPhone. It's a different platform. Obviously, it's going to probably be iOS, but it's like, here's an app that brings up this content, like iPlayer or something, and here's an app that brings up this content and takes you here. And it's going to be more interactive than I think we can possibly even fathom right now, to be honest. I really think this is Apple's crown jewel, and then after this, everything goes to crap.
I think also the other thing we have to bear in mind as well is to sort of break away from the idea of having this monolithic slab of functionality in the living room, because Apple are going to do more than that, because we've got the iPad and the iPhone, and how they use the iPad and the iPhone to interact with that TV, I think is going to be a huge part of the overall, you know, the strategy for taking over the living room. Because they just don't want... I mean, I've seen a couple of articles this week about people saying, you know, the Apple TV is going to be this big because they need all the extra space to put widgets on the screen and, you know, to have your Twitter stream streaming by. Well, no one wants to see all that on a big TV. You want to see the TV image on the TV, but then you want to see other things on a separate screen. So, you know, my sort of standard modus operandi now for watching the TV is to watch the TV and have my iPad on and be... you know, looking at Twitter or reading stuff and then just glance at the TV. And if there's an app, if there's a program I actually want to watch, I'll normally just switch on Twitter and look at the hashtag and see what other people are saying about it. And I find that to be, you know, it's really funny sometimes to follow a live Twitter stream while you're watching a live TV program.
Unless the TV program you watch slightly delayed and it just spoils it.
Yeah, then it sort of spoils it. Yeah, it does. But again, you know, I can see things in the future whereby, you know...
Flying cars.
Well, no, I mean, you can already get them. There are applications that you can, and they've been written specifically for specific TV programs, whereby even if it's recorded, it will actually listen to the soundtrack of the TV show, and it will give you supplementary information in time with the TV that you're watching.
Mm.
So, yeah. You know, there's
Into Now from Yahoo does that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one huge area of technology which has really to be exploited properly. And, you know, I can see applications with Twitter. What if you could develop an app that you could sort of capture the TV app and capture the live Twitter stream at the same time? So you can't interact with Twitter, but at least you can see what was going on Twitter at the time that TV was actually broadcast. Lots of, you know... unique ways they could actually enhance the TV viewing experience. So it's not just going to be the TV in the center of the room, in the corner of the room. It's going to be the TV and the iPad and the iPhone, how they interact.
Cool.
AirPlay and the iCloud are essential in whatever TV strategy they end up with. You're going to be able to just pick stuff from the cloud and you're going to be able to sling things from your iPhone and your iPad to the television as well. It's going to be, because remember, Apple makes their money selling hardware. So they're going to want to make this TV work even better if you've bought more of Apple's stuff.
Coupons. That's what they need.
Hey, what's going to happen? Coupons. We're going to buy it. We're going to buy the thing. We're going to stick it up and go, cool, I paid $3,000 for pitcher in pitcher.
That's probably true.
Voice controlled.
I think timing is going to be interesting next year.
Yeah.
Because it just might be WWDC where it all sort of comes to light. You know, if they do need lots of development work, there's new technologies that they're wrapping into iOS and Lion as well to take advantage of all this. You know, WWDC is the ideal place to pre-launch it, give the developers a couple of months to catch up, and then, you know, a launch towards the end of next year, possibly.
You imagine photo booth on it. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Only you could come out with something that's nth degree cutting edge technology and want to play silly buggers with it.
Well, I mean, that's £3,000 worth.
Will want to hack it and put Plex on it.
You and Mar would sit in pulling faces together. What a bonding experience that would be.
Have you seen the update? I didn't realize. I fired it up the other day because normally we play with our iPad. But I fired up a photo booth on my Mac and I hadn't explored that. But Lion has had a really nice update, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To photo booth?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got those silly bird things that you can whiz around your head and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you get full screen, you get screen. Curtains down the side and everything, don't you?
Yeah, it's great.
It's that they've made it over with the crappy Lion desk diary calendar interface gubbins mank.
Well, yeah, the people listen to us for the cutting edge punditry on Apple stuff, and you want to talk about bloody photo booth, Green?
It's a real selling point for the Mac over the Windows platform. There's nothing like it on Windows.
I'm impressed.
There is not. No.
Nothing like it.
I'm impressed we've stayed on Mac this long. last story, Apple is going to launch a MacBook Pro with a super gorgeous, fantastic high-res screen at resolution that's Retina display, 2800 by 2880 by 1800.
No.
In Q2.
No.
Okay, that's the end of that story then.
That would be madness.
Why?
Why?
Wouldn't it?
I don't.
Wouldn't it?
Are you having self-doubt there, Andrew?
Listen to that confidence.
It's kind of happened, hasn't it? They've been talking about display resolution independence, or is that the terminology, for ages now, and it's now in Lion. The new processors coming out next year are going to be able to support that sort of screen resolution. So I think it's going to happen. Again, it's just timing. I mean, you just don't know. You can't narrow it down to when, but sometime next year, we're going to see these new MacBook Airs with these new high-resolution displays. Oh, definitely, I would have thought.
Don, has Liverpool broken off from the mainland and started floating out into the Irish Sea? Because you're like you're somebody's on a dial-up.
I'm a bit... I've just checked. I've just done a speed test. I'm getting 40 meg. There should be 100 meg connection.
Well, okay. I'm brilliant.
someone's just stolen Don's internet. Let's go, Capsule.
Tom, what's the barometer from your end in the States on the Retina display revolution? I mean, my view here is that they've gone bloody mad over this idea of having high-def displays when actually they're not actually that needed. I mean, my MacBook Pro, my 17-inch MacBook Pro, great picture. You know, it's 2560 and that's it.
Yeah, I think it's likely that you would see a MacBook Pro with this display just because the price of being able to make that has come down enough that Apple can then say, look at this, we have the best display. It's a Retina display. They like to say Retina display, yeah. And it's close to the truth, close enough that they can get away with it. The timing seems right. Q2 is about where we'd be about due for another rev to the MacBook Pro. What more interesting to me than the Retina display is the idea of what the new MacBook line is going to look like. They said that the Air is the future of MacBooks. So are we going to continue to see Pros? And if so, what are they going to look like? Are they going to look more like Airs? Or, you know, I mean, MacBook Air seems to have taken away the MacBook, and the MacBook Pro is kind of being marginalized. And I'm interested in if Apple continues to push the professional line to the margins. You know, they've gotten rid of Server. There's rumors that Mac Pros might not be updated again. Final Cut was, you know, definitely a consumer-oriented, not a professional-oriented update. So the next MacBook Pro, I mean, if it's a Retina display, I think that could be a distraction from some other things that they want to get rid of to make their line more consumer-oriented.
I mean, you can get the MacBook Air now with an i7 processor in it. So they've obviously got some magic sauce going on with temperature control, because, I mean, that would be the big thing with the processor. I mean, Andy Lee from the London Mac User Group was on last week, and his MacBook Pro was in the background, sounding like it was a quadricopter about to take off. So if you can stick an i7 in an Air and have it run reasonably silently, they've done something that would mean that the mainstream MacBook Pro line could come down in size quite significantly.
Yeah, and I guess they could just keep the Pro moniker and say, you know, it's the Air form factor. That would be pretty compelling.
Yeah.
Compelling, I mean.
Don, any view?
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the reasons that we have the MacBook Pros is its connectivity, you know, the DVD drive as well, you know, because you need the thick enclosure for that. Then, you know, we've got all these ports down the side, you know, we've got the FireWire ports, etc. I think once people start to see more Thunderbolt peripherals come out, that takes away the issue really for the connectivity side of things, and that does give Apple then the ability to actually slim down the Mac Pro range. You know, and then you're just down to branding, I think. You know, with, you know, at which processor level and what, how much memory, how big the SSD drive goes as well. You know, then you can start to that way you can start to split up the range into consumer and basically purely just on its performance, because the connectivity is going to be the same, because you'll have the Thunderbolt in the entire range.
Is the absence of Thunderbolt peripherals, though, a bit of a warning sign to Apple that they've got to be careful, because a Thunderbolt could fall on its arse?
I don't know. I speaking to someone a while ago about the Thunderbolt, and I think it's purely down to getting the chips down at a decent price. You know, it's the cost of implementing the technology at the moment for the peripheral manufacturers. Once that's cracked and we see a flood, I'm really surprised we haven't seen more by now, to be honest. And I'm sure, well, I assume Apple is surprised as well, because, you know, it is a fairly strategic thing for them to make sure that it's a success. So hopefully in the new year, you know, something will happen that will bring the price down and we'll see a flood of peripherals come out. But I'm not a betting man, but I don't think it's going to go away, because it's such an important part of the Apple ecosystem.
See, I just think that there's a real problem in the fact that, you know, it's like building a room and not having a door on it. You know, great, the room may look fantastic, but no bugger can get in and have a play with it. And there's just nothing. There's, you know, the stuff that's out there is ridiculously priced. It's not particularly innovative. It doesn't use anything that you can't already use through USB or USB 3 if you had compatibility with it. And Thunderbolt is in danger of falling backwards and crumbling into nothing, because no one's producing enough, or there isn't anyone producing enough stuff to make it interesting and worthwhile having.
I remember a very intelligent and good-looking young man saying probably about 4 months ago that Thunderbolt is doomed.
And who was that then?
Well, I'm not going to say who it was. I'm just saying I remember.
Based on what I saw at 2 a.m. last Saturday, mate, both of those are out the window.
Well, isn't this what I said? This is what I said. It's doomed. It is totally doomed. There's no way it's going to work.
Because there's not enough peripherals.
Yeah, it's just not going to be adopted. USB 3 is going to be the format of choice. And I predict not the next sort of update, but the update after that. Maybe with the next update we'll have like a USB 3 and a fire thing, whatever it's called, Thunderbolt port, and then the one after that they'll drop it, I'm fairly sure.
No.
You said that last time. You said that last time.
Year, right? Okay. What happened then? All right. I've got this range of laptops, and the most sort of best-selling laptops in the world, they're highly regarded. Most professional people now are migrating to the Mac in droves and using these, you know, these high-end laptops. And yes, then next year, Apple comes out with a new range of MacBook Pros, which are based on the Air. They've removed all the FireWire. Basically, they have a Thunderbolt port and two USB ports or something. It's just like Apple might need to do that. They might need to pull the plug on some of the existing technologies to sort of force the peripheral manufacturers to you know, get into high gear at producing the Thunderbolt peripherals. And they're sort of big enough and strong enough to do that, I think. So that it might take that for the peripheral manufacturers to get into high gear to start producing more of these peripherals.
It's going to take Intel's might. I'm curious to see at CES how much, if we see Thunderbolt peripherals, because the last big explosion of them was at the Intel Developers Forum in September. And
it's a bit more of a pop, though, to be fair, wasn't it, rather than an explosion?
Yeah, and I'm sure Intel's going to be pushing it again at CES, but the last push didn't really have much of an effect yet. So it's going to take a combined push. And I agree with what Don's saying. Apple has some muscle to throw around, and they can sort of help nudge this market along. But it needs Intel on the other side pushing to really make it take off. Otherwise, I think Will's going to be right. It's going to be doomed.
Yay! I like it, Tom. You know what you're talking about. It's that Scouse chap over there. No, I mean... But the thing is, though, you can put as much money into a particular technology you want to, but it comes to a point where you think, well, this is throwing good money after bad, and think, oh, well, fair enough, we'll move on and leave it alone. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen with Thunderbolt. It's just not taken off. I knew it wouldn't. USB 3 is going to be the future. And let's remember that Thunderbolt was a bit of a crappy compromise because they couldn't get the Lightpeak thing. That's the name. Sorry, thank you. Lightpeak working properly. And so it's this sort of rubbishy compromise that's just not going to take off.
It's not exactly rubbishy. Have you seen the speed of these things?
Yeah, but how are you going to see the speed of these things? How are you going to? What are you going to connect it to?
Well, you can go out now if you want to and buy like a Promise RAID array
that's brilliant, smoking. Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's the Promise RAID.
And you can go to Matrox and you can buy an adapter to plug your Matrox peripherals. It's just time. That's all. It's not. It's certainly not a crappy technology. It's not as fast as the original technology based on light. But you know, it's copper based. So.
I see Joe Bloggs walking down to his local PC World and picking up a nice sort of RAID array or whatever you want. For what? 10 grand or something?
No,
it's just not going to happen, Don.
We'll see.
Right, okay. So you two can't be on the same show ever again.
I'll take Don's side.
Take sides, dude. I have no panel left.
No, I have to take Don's side. I think it's really, really starting out slow. Yeah. Damn slow. Slower than Apple expected, actually.
Yeah, I think they thought Earthquake.
The $30 or whatever it is, $60 cable doesn't help either. But, you know, the thing is what's nice about it is all that it potentially can be done with it. Monitors, hard drives, who knows? I mean, internet. Possibilities are endless. Yeah, ooh. Internet. Yeah, I mean, it's... And with the way things are getting with speed these days, and we're needing more and more and more of it... Who knows? Maybe the Apple TV. That's the only way you can connect to the internet is via Thunder Chicken.
We got a tone in the chat room was Chris and Dr. Happy Mac. Dr. Boo Chickawawa. Well done. And we've got Chicken Net. There we go. Thunder Chicken. Yeah. Got some titles already. Good discussion, chaps. Well done. This podcast and all the others on the network would not be possible without UK2.net because they're the people that suck up the enormous bandwidth that we use. Mr. Inatco popping up the other week didn't help. And now we've done video. That 30,000 suddenly looks a lot worse. But the beauty is that UK2 give us unlimited bandwidth. We can do whatever we want. We can add shows. We can take shows away. We can do anything because they'll just pick it up. The proviso is that we big them up a bit. And I've got to say, a lot of people this week there's been a couple of tweets flying around from some of the listeners that I know have gone with UK2 saying, oh, I've got a problem here. Can you sort it? And UK2's done it almost instantly. They've got great tech support for you. Please support UK2 because in doing so you support the network, and a lot of you are. There's tons of you buying service from UK2. They're very, very happy with the link up, and they really look after us, and I'm really happy that we're with them. Go to bageltechnews.com, click on the link. It takes you through. They'll know we sent you because it's got a tracking link on it, and we'll get credit for that, even if you just want to sign into your account. Two offer codes to use. Bagel Tech will get you 15% off anything that's in your basket, and Bagel DNS will get rid of the DNS management charge that they charge. You don't have to pay that at all. Please support UK2.net. We're stuffed if you don't. They're everything to us. Right. Have we got cool thingies? Mr. McAllister, do you have a cool thingy for us, and will we hear it?
Indeed. Well, is the audio cracking up as well?
A little bit, but it's all right. Don't worry. Just carry on. Just blindly move on, mate. Don't worry.
Can I just do some gratuitous self-promotion first?
Well, it doesn't stop you most weeks.
Now, steady on. Now, well, you know, I've got that SEO tutor for Lion.
application in the Mac App Store.
Yes.
Well, hopefully, by the end of the weekend, I could have possibly 6 apps in the App Store.
Right.
Ooh.
So
I hear a bundle deal. I hear a
No.
Another Mac bundle.
Tutorials that are now going to be on the App Store. One is SEO Tutor for Mac, which is for new Mac users. It takes you back to complete scratch and start from the beginning. And that's going to be available on the Mac App Store and also on the iPad as well. There's an iPad version of the app now. So SEO Tutor for Mac and brand new on SEO Tutor for iPad. So if you want to learn all about the iPad, again, on the iPad and also on the Mac App Store, be two new tutorials for that. So check out SEO Brilliant. Tutor on the Mac App Store and the iTunes Store. I'd say some of them aren't out yet. They'll be out probably Monday. Hopefully, they're in review this weekend, so hopefully they'll come out the other end.
But the better deal by far is to sign up to the proper Screencast Online, because you get all of those anyway.
You will. But they're all chopped up and spread out, whereas these are sort of like two-hour tutorials that you can get in one go. But yeah, no, the still the main thing is the screencastonline.com for the membership. Thank you for reminding me about that.
Yeah, 50% off if you use the offer code BAGELTECH. There we go.
Yeah. So my cool thingy. This is a neat little application, actually. It's a Mac app that allows you to use your Mac to type on your iPhone via Bluetooth. So I sometimes get that infant dinner message because I'm still not a fantastic typer on the iPad or on the iPhone. Mm. And if I've got it next to me, I can just flick up this thing called Type to Phone. It's type the word, then the numeric 2, and then phone. You switch that on, you connect your iPhone, and then basically your Mac keyboard is the keyboard for your phone. You can just type away. Once you've got your text input field, you can just type away from your Mac keyboard, and it works really, really well. So that's my pick for this week, Type to Phone. It's £2.99.
Right.
And it's on the Mac App Store.
And if you've got an Android phone, there's a version for Android as well. So it's not the end of the world.
But can't you do that anyway? I mean, your iPhone enable Bluetooth, and it.
Well, you can pair a keyboard, can't you?
But this is just a quick thing.
Yeah. So it allows you to use an existing paired keyboard with your iOS device, rather than having to unpair and repair it.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose on a laptop you can use that keyboard too.
Yeah.
Brilliant, good pick. Tom, you're the first man on time on the show, so I don't know if you've brought one with you, but have you got a cool thing for us?
Well, I've got something. I don't know how cool it is, but it's a process that I use that
Wait till you hear
really
Greenies,
well.
Mate, you'll be very happy.
What's that?
Wait till you hear Greenies, you'll be very happy with yours.
I use a program called Notational Velocity. I don't know if you guys have heard it, maybe you've even talked about it before. It's a free note-taking app that will sync with SimpleNote on iOS. So I have SimpleNote on my phone and on my iPad, and I use Notational Velocity. It's a free open source program on my desktop. And when I use it for my task list. So when I put in a note there, it immediately saves to the cloud and syncs to SimpleNote. So when I open SimpleNote, it's there. I don't have to press anything. I don't have to think about it. It's just basically like having the same notepad across all my devices. And honestly, I don't want to oversell it. It's not like it's changed my life.
It's free, dude. So
it's free. And I've saved a lot of time now because I don't forget as many things, and I'm a little more organized because of it.
Very good. So this is desktop.
Yeah. Notational Velocity is the desktop, and then you link it to SimpleNote on iOS.
Brilliant. Really, really cool. Free's good as well. Tommy Tight Ass Carl Swagger loves that one. He's already typed it in inverted commas, bought it, I'm sure.
Woo-hoo. I'm there. Yeah, I'm there. We mean bought it. It's free.
Kyle, what free application have you got for us this week?
I've got one in the spirit of the returning of the NBA, something I've actually downloaded on my phone. And I did buy, actually, the 99-cent version of this.
You spent money.
But if you want, I did, 99 cents, actually.
Has your nose stopped bleeding yet?
No, it's fine. And this was actually the light version. It's called NBA Jam, and it's for your iPhone. I don't know if it works on the iPad or not. I only have it on the iPhone. And the free light version, you can only play with the Lakers and the Celtics on this thing, and I think it's just one quarter. If you get the full version, you can get all 30 NBA teams. It's kind of basketball and steroids. There's kind of fire and stuff. It's all, you know, dunking the ball and everything. But it's quite fun. It has a very arcade feel to it. And, you know, if you want to try it out, there's a free one, which is called NBA Jam. It's an EA Sports game, actually.
There's a surprise.
Edition. Yeah. Oh, I do actually.
I had NBA Jam on the Sega Mega Drive, mate.
Oh, did you?
This is an old game. It's been around for years, mate. You're not old enough, that's the trouble. What's a Sega Mega Drive, Sis Swagger?
It's Mega and it's from Sega.
Yeah, okay, good.
Okay. I have one other one, actually. I just need to actually give a shout out, actually. It's from Andrew, who's on, I believe it's SpaceCab07. I think he's a supporter of the network.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a cabbie. He goes around London a lot. And I told him I'd give a shout out for the Tweet a London Cab. I believe they're at Tweet a London Cab on Twitter. I think it's a way of, I guess, of hailing a cab or getting a cab or calling a cab. They're using the Twitter service this way. And it seemed like a really cool idea. I know I can't use it, but you could use it.
Well, you could use it when you're here next year.
Yeah, we could use it there. Yeah, that's a good idea.
For the match.
So.
Will, what have you got for us, mate?
You're going to take the mickey out of this one. I know you are. I don't know why I'm saying it, really.
You know it. Come on.
Well, you know, we're almost Christmas.
Yes.
And then the next day after Christmas is Boxing Day.
Yes.
Which is the 26th. And then you have a bit of a downer almost because it's like you've been so looking forward to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christmas goes away and you've got Boxing Day and so forth. This application is called 12 Days. And
come on, mate, get it out.
It's released by Apple.
And this is their free 12 apps.
Oh. It's really bloody good. It is. Every day from Boxing Day, the 26th of December, you get a free app or music. Michael Bublé track. For instance,
oh, that's
one
it right
of the highlights of last year.
We're in already.
Michael Bubble.
Sorts of stuff. yes, it's good. So if you didn't know about it, and I'm sure you did, but I just thought I'd point it out, it's very, very good. 12 days.
Jolly good. Thank you, mate.
Free?
No,
free?
Free.
Totally free.
It's a link to free apps, you muppet.
I'm loving this show today.
It's really, honestly, it's really good. And it's just, every day they give you a free app or a free track from whoever. I forget about the music stuff. The music's crap normally, but the apps occasionally are good.
There's a point in the chat room. Is Will the person who comes up with the crap for Christmas on the Daily Show?
How dare you, sir?
No, that's me. How dare you, Tony?
Oh, can I do another one?
Oh, come on. Okay, yeah, go on.
More crap, Will. More crap.
Sorry, sorry, Tom, mate. You've probably got to get to work. You've got a show to do right now, haven't you?
Nah, I'm working while he talks. It's fine.
Okay, good man.
Oh.
Yeah, it's about that interesting. Go, Will.
Well, that's it then.
Now, go on. Give us your second one, you grumpy git.
Squibs.
As in damp.
Yes, as in damp. And it's, you remember the old Game & Watch things?
Yes.
It's, and like I got a, say thank you to Carl for this one. Squibs. It's like a Game & Watch version of, no, it's an iPhone version of the Game & Watch stuff. That's it then.
Are you speaking English?
No.
I haven't got a clue what you've just said.
It's in Squibs. Dutch.
Squibs. You remember Game & Watch?
No. No, I don't.
You do. You must do. You know the old Nintendo Game & Watch?
You should have
backed me up on this.
You should have stopped while you were ahead, mate, at 12 days. Everyone else has gone to sleep. That's why no one's talking.
I don't think Don's even here, is he?
I'm still here. I'm here. Just frozen in time.
He's frozen in a Picasso-like image.
Well, I'm not just starting to just collapse around me.
Right, Greeny, thanks very much, mate. Dr. Horny Mac, you raved about your pick, so come on then, mate. What is it? Oh, you've turned your volume off. Good lad. Slick.
Yeah. Oh, back.
There we go. Thanks, mate.
Will just did it.
He's just done it?
No. I was going to mention 12 days because it is actually better than it sounds, and some of the stuff is not Michael Bublé, so that's always a plus point.
Right.
Anyway, yes, two little things there. One is a quick trip to, which is like geek land. Go and visit the MIT news page and have a read about their fantastic, probably better off on the photo show, their 1 trillion frames per second camera.
Yes.
That's pretty good. A camera that's so fast it can actually take multiple photos of a a beam of light moving through a Coca-Cola bottle. It's fantastic. Anyway, there you go. That's not really Mac-related. But the other thing was, the other day, I spent so bloody long in an office with a couple of Macs, and they were using Macs, which is great, and Apple would love you to use Macs. And would you believe how stupidly difficult is it to have your address book on one Mac and to have your other Mac with a synced address book? It's brilliant. If you love Apple so much that you can buy a new computer and run Lion and you can have iCloud, it's brilliant. But if you're just 1 second behind the curve, then it's pretty well impossible to...
that well-known new word, impossible.
Impossible to do that, you know, to sync your address book. And in the end, we did discover a really useful and nice little app by a company called Mark Space, who used to be known for doing things with Quark Express that people thought was impossible. And it's called Sync Together for Mac. And it does cost you actual money. It does cost you 50 of those US dollars. So as the, yeah, $50 just to sync your address book. But it does do it, which is good. And it's really easy to set up. One Mac becomes the server, and all the other Macs in your office become the clients, and it just pushes and pulls your address book and your calendar and your bookmarks and everything together. It does everything that iCloud does, but you have to pay for it.
Yeah, no one's bought that yet. On the positives versus negatives of the day's shows, mate, I think you've just kind of... we're in debt now on...
What, like a Mac that... an app that you have to pay the developer for their time and effort and love and attention because it solves a problem that Apple have deliberately confronted you with. That's pretty good $50.
All right, mate. I'm sorry. I lit the blue touch paper. I shouldn't have. I'll step back.
Were you in there and you couldn't figure out how to do it? I thought, we'll Google this, and found a solution and then charged them for it. Charged them for that time when you were Googling.
www.markspace.com, $50 for the app.
They used to do one for...
thank you very much, Andrew.
BlackBerry as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
My pick is a photography app, but then I would do, wouldn't I? Snapheel. It's available in the Mac App Store. It's $9.99, but it's on offer. It's on offer at the minute because it's normally $20, so you've got it cheaper. Oh. Okay, and basically, cool. It's for your little phone stuff, anything that you've got in your iPhoto library, that kind of thing. You just bung it into this stuff, and you can do really quite basic editing with it, retouching, you can do cloning as well, and you can do contrast, saturation levels, all that kind of stuff, and add a bit of sharpness as well, which is something that iPhone really doesn't do particularly brilliantly at all. And you've got rotation and all that kind of stuff. It's dirt cheap when you compare it to something like Elements, but it doesn't do, you know, it's at least up to about level of GIMP or something like that, so
which is free.
Yeah, I know, but this thing does it quite well. It does, I've had a play with it, it's quite nice. It does a good job.
Yeah,
when you launch it, does it go dum da da dum?
I don't know. No, okay. it just comes on. The user interface is good and it looks nice and it does what it says on the tin, so bugger off the lot of you. It's a decent pick. Okay.
Okay. You're the host.
I put up with this every week, Tom. This crap goes on and on and on.
It's the burden of the host.
Next week, we're going to have a rummage in Santa's sack. Oh, yes.
The edits is all out, Tom.
No, I don't. A Christmas giveaway. We have got to give away a 1 terabyte laptop drive. We've got, we may have a Nintendo 3DS and we may have a digital camera. And we've also got 3 copies of Snagit and we've got 3 copies of Camtasia 2 to give away. And we're giving them out all through the day. So if you want to take part, all you got to do is send us an email that says, I want to rummage in Santa's sack. And during the shows, we'll pull out a winner for each of the prizes through each of them. So the Daily Show in the morning, we'll have Santa pull that out. And then we've got the Mac Show at 2 o'clock. The first show at 2 o'clock. The Mac Show's at 3:30. Andy and Natko's coming on to ruin his career even further. And then the Big Show will be on at 9:30 in the evening, and that'll be that. So if you want to do it, I want to rummage in Santa's sack. Send me an email at bageltechnews@gmail.com and you'll go into the draw. There we go. Into the hat.
Into the sack.
We're into the sack, absolutely. Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
You can find me over at screencastonline.com or over on the Twitter as Don McAllister.
Or on the phone to Virgin Media going, why am I paying you so much money?
Yeah, sorry about this, but what can you do?
Your fault, mate. Tom, I'm sure everyone knows where they can get you, but just for the sake of the fact that we could improve your career even slightly, Where can we get a hold of you?
No, I'm, who knows? You'd be surprised how few people actually do know about what I do. TomMerritt.com is the place where I have all my projects put together. But Tech News Today is my main show daily on the Twit Network, twit.tv/TNT.
Dead impressed, mate. That spinning the whole day's tech news into 1 hour is because it's not often a lot. I do a 5 minute daily show in the mornings, mate, and I've gone to 3 days a week because there's just not enough.
Yeah, well, like I said, we're good at making stuff up.
Good man, Carl. Where can we get you, mate?
On Twitter at Kyle Swagger, Swagger with 1G, or at KyleSwagger.com.
Greeny,
PipeSmokerOfTheYear.com.
Are you still pushing that?
Of course I am.
Who's currently
a cash cow like that?
Who's currently in the lead in the stakes for Pipe Smoker of the Year? Is it you? Are you the only entry?
Pretty much, I think.
I don't know anyone that smokes a pipe. Now my dad stopped smoking, that's it.
Well,
Merritt's got a pipe! Good man! Hey! Well, there you go. Tom Merritt, Pipe Smoker of the Year, because you're ineligible because you own the site, Greeny. He's got to win.
Okay. Tom Merritt, ladies and gentlemen, this year's Pipe Smoker of the Year, 2011, is Mr. Tom Merritt.
Oh, please, thank you.
Bravo.
Have you got more than one, dude? Are you really a pipe smoker, Tom?
Not very often, but yeah, no, that's my pipe.
Good lad. So you keep the husky voice.
That's right. It's purely professional.
Do you claim it on your taxes?
Yeah. tobacco exemption.
To keep me husky. Dr. Horny Mac, where can we get you, mate?
At Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters. www.drhappymac.co.uk. That's me. Very happy.
And if you're in the Cotswoldy area and you need your Mac fixing,
if you need servicing, etc.,
and you've got a loose negligee,
yes, yeah,
and you're in need of a bath, and you've got some wine and some cheese, then Dr. Yeah. Horny Mac will be round and will service your Mac along like with anything else. We're going to go off before we get pulled off the air. This is a clean podcast, by the way, as well. We'll be back again next week. Andy and Atko's here. We're doing Santa's Sack. Make sure you join us. Thanks for listening.
Hip, hip.
Bye-bye.
I know you lot aren't going to stick quiet over the credits. You
will, buggers.
Try it.
Yeah.
Go. Roll the credits.
Sold.
<Ooh. laughs> Bastards.